This is a podcast about failure. With me, Lola Berry, author, nutritionist, and yoga teacher. Join me as we get to know these guests and learn about how their failures have ultimately shaped their dreams. Welcome to Fearlessly Failing with Lola Berry. Hello. Today on the pod, we have Alexa Silvaggio, such an incredible human being, teacher, writer, speaker, yogas teacher, meditation guru, super into spirituality, self-care and mindfulness, also owns a ripper chocolate company. It's just gone through a rebrand, so I'm going to put all the new details for it in the show notes as well. It's so delicious. Just before I recorded this intro, I actually had a couple little squares of the orange peel flavor. It's paleo and vegan. So nice to have just go-getter on the pod. Well, I know we always have go-getters on the pod. Who am I kidding? That's exactly the premise of this pod. But just someone that's got many skill sets and chasing them all at the same time. I really love that. Kind of like a spiritual hustler or something. Oh, there's a clothing brand for you. Spiritual Hustler. That sounds great. That sounds like a great podcast too. Name. Just giving all my ideas away. Okay. In this chat, Alexa actually takes us through a really cool breathing exercise that I've never done before. So I am going to keep it in. It might sound, it'll sound different because we stop talking and she literally takes us through this breathing practice. And I've never done it. It's all about exhaling through the stomach, the heart, and then inhaling it, but it's all through the mouth. Really, really interesting. And then we do some box breathing. So I invite you when you're listening to that part, even if you're driving, would you be able to do it driving? Probably would. But just have a listen or pause and like remember where it is and come back to it and listen because I felt the difference straight away when I did this breathing exercise. So that is in the pod. I hope you enjoy it. That's a little Easter egg for you, surprise treat that I guess isn't a surprise anymore because I've just ruined it. We talk a lot about fear. Disclaimer, we talk about eating disorders, which we haven't talked about for a long time on this podcast. So it was really nice to have some just really unfiltered chat about it. Enjoy. Alexa, you're awesome. Really cool human being and I cannot wait to see with you and I am addicted to your chocolate. So it was called Savage. It's going to be called Rich as soon as the rebranding's done, which I'm pretty sure will have happened by the time this intro comes out. Another wonderful human being based in LA, and that, as you know, is the premise of these Monday episodes. While I'm in LA, I want to interview people that are based here and chasing dreams here. So enjoy another inspiring chat with an LA-based human being. Mega love. Have a ripper day. Bye. Alexa Silvaggio.
Oh, she did it.
Welcome to the pod for everyone listening. I practiced that a couple of times.
It's good.
I am so honored to have you on this podcast.
I'm so stoked to be chatting with you.
Incredible. Like you're a wellness warrior. You're a teacher. You're a writer. You're a speaker. You've got an incredible chocolate company that I have already demolished two bars of. Two of the four you gave me.
I think I have more in the car. I'll have to give you some more.
Honestly, you don't need to because I'm literally like, okay, so I'm a mint girl. So I was like, I'm going to be obsessed with the mint. And then I tried the orange and I was like,
I know.
What is with your orange? It's so good. It's like,
it's so real. And you know what's so sad is like, I think that flavor is actually going to go because people see it and they're like, oh, we don't want it. So people don't buy it.
Yeah. Ah, the oranges.
Yeah. Mm. I know.
Bellissimo.
It's my favorite.
We're going to talk more about the chocolate because I think it's unreal. And
thank you, sister.
As a nutritionist, I'm always reading the packets and checking, you know, how honest the ingredients are. And so I'm pumped to talk to you way more about that.
Awesome.
But first, I kind of want to like backtrack. So we met last week, had a little, you had your matcha, I had my coffee.
Yeah.
I met Hugo, your incredible French bulldog.
My little pumpkin head.
Such a pumpkin.
Like his head is a pumpkin too. Like it's huge.
Even his colorings are a bit pumpkin-y, aren't
they?
Yeah,
yeah.
But researching you after we spoke, I loved seeing, oh, there's so much on YouTube of you doing meditation, yogas. We both bonded over that.
Yeah.
But I, when we were talking, I loved hearing about you being in New York, being a dancer, being in the theater world. Can we talk a little bit about that part of your life first?
God, yeah, of course.
How on earth was, as an Aussie, we romanticize the Jay-Z, Alicia Keys song, New York State of Mind.
That's legit.
Yeah.
It's an epic one. I always had a big hunger and yearning for that city. And, you know, my family growing up, my mom owned a dance school.
Yes.
And so, So I danced, I think I started at age 3. And we would often take trips to New York. And my mom had a radio show actually on a channel called KCBX. It's through NPR.
Yeah.
And it was called From Ballet to Broadway. And so she would like play show tunes. And that was really kind of what got it into my somatic body. I was like, oh God, this is so amazing. Mm. And so, yeah, I ended up pursuing it as a career. I went to Interlochen Arts Academy for high school, which is like a private school for the arts in Michigan. And then spent my summers at NYU at Cap 21 and then ended up going to Syracuse University. I was a musical theater major. And I booked my first show my sophomore year and ended up having to leave and tour and do all the things.
And Syracuse is just out of New York, right?
Exactly. It's upstate. It's just upstate a bit. So cold.
Like, oh, really?
Audaciously cold. Like it's actually like, can we swear on this podcast?
Please, okay, go to town.
Absolute fuckery.
Yeah.
And so it just, you know, it was good. I'm glad I did it. But that place was pretty brutal. So I was hungry to get out of there as fast as I could.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be in the city because I was booking jobs already.
Yeah. And that's like the mecca of musical theater.
Exactly.
Exactly. So I've heard you say that you describe your body as your home, and when you danced, you felt more present and connected to yourself.
Yeah.
Was that something from the beginning? Is that what drew you, like obviously your mom and having that incredible role model in your life?
Yeah.
But was it that when you were dancing, you were like, time stops, I'm here right now, nothing else mattered, that kind of like flow state? Is that what dance was for you?
You know, it's so funny you say that because it was such a yin and yang experience. Like, yes. Complete embodiment. I totally felt present, but it also was kind of my kryptonite for a long time because it led to a lot of body obsession.
Yeah.
And of course, a full-blown eating disorder that almost took me out completely.
Yeah.
So it was this very weird dichotomous thing where it was like both my catnip and my kryptonite. It really was interesting.
Totally. I'm glad that you mentioned eating disorder. For people listening to this podcast, they'll know that's my history as well. And I've heard you talk about your eating disorder to the point where you didn't get your period, you were losing hair, and it kind of kicked off in sophomore year. So I think, how old is that?
I guess I was probably like 19, 20.
Yeah, okay. Just because in Australia we don't have sophomore year.
Yeah, that's yeah. You're like, who, what, when, where, why? Because we don't know what that is. What the fuck are you talking about?
And that's about the age around that early 20s. I think also we're looking for validation outside of ourselves at that age, whether it be the people we date, whether it be how we choose to get control of our body, like as opposed to like living intuitively, which is what I feel like you do right now.
Yeah.
So just to like, if you're comfortable to sit in a bit of that uncomfy bit for a moment of the eating disorder. So I've heard you say it wasn't one specific trigger necessarily.
Yeah, it was a bunch of things. I mean, I think there was tremendous pressure because I was working while in school. So there was this kind of like, I was kind of this like weird magical creature that like got a job like before I was done. So everyone was kind of like, wait, why is she like already working? Like, this is the goal. Like, we want to do that. And like, I was already doing it. So I was like, oh, I need to like bear down and like control all these things that I can't control. There was also an unrequited love situation that I think really like, it really devastated me. And I think there was a part of me that subconsciously didn't really want to exist. Like, there was a part of me that was like, okay, if this person doesn't want me and now I'm like working as a professional actor and it feels very scary because like now I have my equity card and now I have my SAG card and like I'm doing all these things and it felt like a very big deal and a whole lot of change met with this kind of like devastation. I just wanted to control something because I felt so ungrounded.
Yeah.
And so it was easier to control what I was eating
totally.
than my circumstances.
how long was it a part of your life? I mean, that's a very loaded question because I feel like it never really goes in some ways. Yeah. Like there are days where I'll look in the mirror and be like, you look fat.
Yeah, totally.
Don't eat dinner tonight. You know, like that can creep in and I'm 35. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But like how long was it where it controlled your life or was a big part of your life?
Yes, and I totally agree. And frankly, I don't think there's a soul on this planet.
Yeah.
That doesn't have, it's like eating disorder is like a sliding scale.
Totally.
Like I know people that are like famous actors now who have these like what we would all call perfect bodies that wake up and they're like, oh yeah, no, I'm just doing beverages today. And I'm just like, okay, we're there. Like that's where we're at. I just took a fitness class and like I had the same moment. I was like, oh girl, you need some assistance. Like it was that conversation. But as far as it like really ruling my life and like totally consuming me, I would say from like 19 to 25.
Yeah. Yeah. So they say, I remember I was touring with a psychologist that specialized in eating disorders and they were like, it's a 10 to 11 year recovery.
I have no doubt.
A full coming out from binge eating and then like starving. I don't know how your slide out of it was, but mine was like real binge eating and then guilt and then self-loathing and then, well, I wouldn't eat for 10 days or something. Like I'd do something really horrible to my body.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm so excited to talk to you about it because I feel like it's so but it's so nice to see and again why I want to talk about the chocolate, to see this full circle of like mindfulness come all the way back. But when you're in it, it's so hard. So I've heard you describe it as like a sense of like self-hatred when you're in an eating disorder. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. I think really any addiction, any form of self-abandonment, like an eating disorder, like alcoholism, like sex addiction, like shopping addiction, it's all an act of self-hatred, right? You're trying to escape yourself. You're like, I'm out of here. I don't want to feel this. Whatever this is, whatever's underneath this, I don't want to feel it. It's an act of self-betrayal, an act of self-loathing, and a means of disembodying, right? A means of escape. Like I am outside of myself. I'm out of control.
Totally.
And yet I'm controlling this behavior, so I'm in control in some weird way. It's this very weird juxtaposition. And then I got into the wellness world, the more mindful you know, spiritual practices. I became a yoga teacher and that was really a practice of embodiment. That was a practice of like being as present with my body as I could and an act of self-care, an act of self-love. And obviously, depending on the teacher that you go to, like you can go to some yoga classes where it's like a boot camp, you know,
totally.
And it's like people, and the teachers are like, go! And you're like, wait, hold on, I'm just trying to breathe. like hold the fucking phone. But you know, you find your people, you find your teachers, you find your path. And that was certainly a huge part of my healing was coming home to myself.
And they say yoga finds you. I'm sure you've heard that one before. And it was a huge part of my recovery with an eating disorder too because you're forced to sit with yourself and sit with the uncomfortable longer than you probably want to.
Oh my God. And that's exactly it. Like the most difficult practice for me was always yin. Where you're like holding pigeon pose for like 5 minutes and you're like, I just have to sit in this burning hot, like white hot discomfort.
And with your thoughts as well,
Yeah, that'll do it.
And then when did the meditation come into you for you? Because my boyfriend's an avid practicer of meditation. I quite struggle with it, but I love pranayama and breath work. It's my total jam.
Yeah.
So that for me kind of I'm like, oof. I think because I am an A-type personality, and I saw this on your Insta yesterday.
Yeah, exactly, type A post.
Right.
Totally.
But because the breath work, I feel like I can feel the results like almost instantaneously. My brain equates it to, I've just done something productive to help myself.
Completely.
With meditation, I can be like in checklists. I can be very disconnected with myself. So when did the meditation creep in with the yogas or did that come further down the line for you?
Totally further down the line. I feel like if someone had told me at the beginning, like especially when I was just starting to recover, if someone had told me like, hey, you're going to sit down and like sit with yourself for 30 minutes or 20 minutes or 10 minutes, I would have been like, you go away.
Yeah.
Like there's no way. I need to move.
Yeah.
Especially as a dancer, like being in my body made me feel alive.
Yeah.
And like powerful. I'm like touching myself right now. I'm like grabbing my wrist. I'm like, here I am. I'm right here. And And that was, I think that that was such a huge part, because really, I mean, yoga is a movement meditation.
Totally.
And so it was a really good tool for me as someone who was still compulsive, who was a dancer and who needed to have meditation, but in a physical form. And then I would, it, ironically, like nowadays, like I'd say 30 on, yeah, maybe 31, meditation is my main practice.
Yeah.
I don't practice asana as much as I did. And I always start with breath work and I let that lead into my meditation because that's how I can drop in. Like I'll do like 10 minutes of breath work and then 10 minutes of meditation.
Do you have a favorite breath work exercise?
I generally will do, depending on what I need, but I would say my most like common, I'll do 5 minutes of holotropic.
And what's then holotropic?
Oh my God, I'm obsessed with it. We should do a little bit.
Yeah.
We can even do like 30 seconds of it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay, good.
Okay, great. So what you want to do is all through the mouth, you breathe into the belly, into the heart, and then out, all in and out through the mouth.
Okay.
So it sounds like this.
Okay.
Yeah. Belly, heart, out. Yes. Almost there. Good. Now take a deep inhale. Hold the breath. Soften the shoulders. Exhale it out. And then I would move into 5 minutes of boxed breathing.
Yeah.
Yes, we know this one. Inhale for five. Holding the breath for five. Exhaling for five. Holding empty for five. We'll do that one more time. Inhale for five. Holding for five. Exhaling for five. Holding empty for five. Yeah. So I'll do 5 minutes of each of those. How do you feel?
I was anxious at the start of doing the first, the exhaling breathing. I've never done that before.
Yeah.
And then
it can bring forward that.
But then I felt good. Like the second half, I was like, give in.
Yeah.
You know, surrender. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, so nice. I love box breathing and I love, even if I'm just a bit stressed out, I'll inhale for five, hold for five, and then like exhale for like nine or 10, like as long as I can. And I use that if I can't sleep or I'm anxious.
Totally.
And just as long as I need to kind of like, I don't even care if it's three rounds and I'll just be like, and reset just to kind of get myself through. But it was really, that was really nice.
Thanks for doing it with me.
Oh, my goodness. Total score.
Bonus.
Okay, so I wanted to just say one thing. I didn't expect to talk to you about this, but it came up when you were talking about your body and being connected to it.
Yeah.
As you know, we spoke the other day. Mm-hmm. I'm in acting school and there is an actor in there that's a dancer and their physical connection to themselves, to the scene, to the space is like nothing I've ever seen.
Wow.
And so I think, I know you and I talked about you potentially dipping back in, you know, and doing more acting. I think the dance, the yogas, the connection to your body is like such a powerful tool that I hadn't realized until I came here and watched a dancer that's an actor in the space. And I was like, they are best mates.
It's an availability.
And it's like another language as well that you've got that we don't have if we haven't done that kind of work.
Yes. Dance really was, it's so funny. This is like such an homage to my mom. She would teach workshops all over the place. And often she would start workshops saying, do you know what the first language was? And everyone's like, you know, I don't know. This language.
Latin.
People, yeah, Latin. Yeah, exactly. Latin, maybe. English, no. And she would say, you know, no, it was actually movement. Mm. You know, we didn't know words, but we would gesture.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like this. You know, making point. Like, we used our bodies to communicate first before anything else. And so as dancers, that's what we're doing. We're communicating with our body. And so if you supercharge that with language and presence with the yoga piece, I mean, you can see it in actors when they're checked out.
Totally.
You can see it in actors when they're like thinking about the laundry list of shit they have to do versus the available actors. And then you add that physical availability and it's like, boom, crazy.
And like you said, with the presence as well, they often say like great actors that haven't necessarily had all the technical training are just super great at dropping in and being present.
Totally.
And so, yeah, I just after speaking to you last week, I wanted to say that because I think the dancing, and the connection, like I could never even dream of having that kind of connection to my body other than from yoga. Like I definitely get from vinyasana, I feel, because you're moving your body with the breath. I feel like that brings a beautiful connection.
No doubt.
But there's something about a dancer that is like, it's like you know how to hit a beat with your body that will match the beat in the script.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, now I'm really excited to see
you. Oh, hell, you too. We got to do a scene.
Totally.
But no, it's true. It's true. And it's funny, like as I get older in my experience, I'm like, wow, it's so interesting to see how all of these things combined create so much more power. Like I think about the stuff I've learned in yoga.
Ah.
And you take that into an audition.
Ah,
you know what I mean? Like, oh, let me calm my breath down before I go into this room. Like, oh, let me get really like in my heart before I do this scene. Like that sort of thing where you're like, oh, wow, I can combine all these forces.
Totally. It makes me realize there's no set path for anybody in life, in any career. Like forget acting for a second, but like even you with the chocolate, like it makes sense that it comes out of a love for wanting to connect to mindful eating.
Exactly. Because that was my mess.
Yeah.
Turn it into more message.
Right. And it's that it's almost like when you like almost welcome in and understand your pain, that also becomes like your gift. Would you agree?
I would undoubtedly agree.
Yeah.
I think the pain is where the alchemy is. It's our crucible. It's literally our crucible.
Yeah.
And if we resist it, well, of course, pain plus resistance equals suffering. I'm not good at math, but that's one equation I have locked down is pain plus resistance equals suffering. But if we call forward our pain and we allow it to sit with us at the proverbial table, because every sensation deserves a seat at the table, then we can create that crucible.
That's where
magic happens. That's where we give birth. But I mean, talk about birth, like birth is fucking painful.
Yeah.
Like physical birth, it's painful.
And then rebirth when you come through the pain.
And death, I hate to break it to you, it's painful.
Yeah.
But it's a departure. It's a leaving. It's a crucible.
Yeah.
It's a shift. It's an alchemy.
Oh, my goodness. I could talk to you about all this stuff all day long.
Oh, me too.
I was like literally taking notes and I was like time stamping and I was like, oh, my God, that was amazing.
I'm so glad. I'm so honored.
So I love the like the spirituality, the self-care side of you. Please tell me, and we kind of talked about this the other day, you're putting this into a book. You have to be.
Yeah, yeah, I am. So I'm really excited. I mean, I think, you know, my whole thing in, again, going back to like the mess into the message thing is like I was really bad at receiving. Like I was bad at receiving food. I was bad at receiving love. Yeah. I was bad at receiving intimacy. I was bad at receiving myself. You know, I was like, I couldn't receive myself. I wanted to get as far away from myself as I could. And so much of that is about pleasure, like the pleasure of food, the pleasure of being in my body, the pleasure of this experience, that experience. Like pain, I was actually pretty good at, like starvation, you know, like I was good at starving myself, really good at it. But pleasure is something that I find in our culture, we either are like going totally unconscious with it, or we're not doing it at all. Right. We're either eating like the whole box of cookies.
Yeah.
Or we're not allowed cookies.
Yeah.
We're watching like 27 episodes of Outlander.
Yeah.
Or we're not watching Outlander at all. You know what I mean?
Like, I love that you're into Outlander.
Oh, I'm so
totally into it.
I swear it's like my total obsession right now. But, you know, it's like, but do it mindfully. Like the difference between conscious pleasure and unconscious pleasure is mindfulness.
Totally.
Like,
totally.
Is it a treat or is it treatment for something that you don't want to feel? And it's like, okay, this, like, I don't have anything delightful in front of me except for you. But, you know, like, okay, this chocolate bar, like, I can savor this and make it a treat, or I can, like, eat seven of them.
Yeah.
And it's treatment for the fact that, like, my boyfriend broke up with me.
And I don't want to feel this thing that I'm feeling right now.
Exactly. I don't want to feel this. This is uncomfortable.
And this is where, like, I think the whole emotional eating picture, like, you've just literally described it to a T.
Yeah.
And I think as well, like, often I still have those tendencies to eat the whole box of.
Oh, same.
Especially I found these great gluten-free cookies at Trader Joe's.
Okay,
and I'm like,
which ones?
Partake.
Oh, I don't know which. I don't know them.
They're really good. And they do a gluten-free snickerdoodle, which is really good.
Get out.
Yeah, soft baked.
Oh, and no spells. No.
Yeah.
So good.
But I'm like shivers. Like, oh, yeah. I, they're so yummy. And I'm like, I should just make them my treats for the week.
Yeah.
Like, just make it last.
Yeah.
Literally, like, over the course of the day, I'm like, oh, one more.
Yeah.
One more, one more. And so I do the whole, like, all or not. I think that's an A-type personality thing for sure as well.
Yes.
But when I'm at home with my boyfriend, he'll make me sit down. He's like, what are you feeling right now? And I always go, oh, boss, I feel discombobulated. And it's like, okay, talk to me more. Like, what are you actually – and often it'll either be stress or he made me realize this. I hadn't realized it. But if I'm not being creative, I feel really ungrounded and I get really – like a sense of being, I want to say trapped, but it's like I'm not connected to myself.
Whoa.
And it was in between writing a manuscript because I write books. And he said, he's like, you're not being creative right now. That's why you feel uncomfortable.
Whoa.
Yeah. And he said, can you just draw me something? And I just didn't even think about what I drew.
Matt.
I know.
You're adorable. Sweet little Italian homie.
So I drew this like anatomical heart with flowers coming out of like all the aortas.
Are you an artist as well?
I just like scribbled it. Like I just drew it and
I feel
but
like
I
you're
do
good
that
at
when
other
I'm
things.
No. I just enjoy it. And I noticed that it calmed me down. And like when I don't know if you know this, but Australia had a really brutal lockdown, as did here. But where we lived in Victoria, we were the state that was locked down and the rest of the country was open. And so it was a really confronting experience to see everyone out and about that is less than like an hour flight away.
Oh my God.
And you're stuck in lockdown. And so he would just buy me coloring books and he'd be like, go and color, like, because I was able to, you know, find this creativity that kept me feeling fulfilled. And I noticed that there's a massive, for me, like, and I think as you as well, as a dancer, actor, creative, you're always creating content. Great reels, by the way.
Thank you. It's my new jam. I'm all about
it. Your microphone is so good.
I should have brought it. We should have done one together next time.
So fun.
When you come on my pod, we got to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And your pod, tell me about your pod.
You know, it's wild. It's been such a fun journey. It's been exquisite and excruciating. I had my mom on actually before she passed, and we did like a full interview on her death experience.
She sounds phenomenal.
Phenomenal human. Totally.
I saw you do a post of Hugo, your mom, and you, and she talked about not being afraid.
Yeah. Yeah, she was so present and so, you know, it was a long goodbye.
Mm.
So she had a lot of time to be in non-resistance, you know. And so because she was in non-resistance, she wasn't afraid. And that was the most exquisite thing and the most precious gift she could have given all of us, because as much as it was so difficult for all of us to see her go, and we're all still grieving, I know I certainly am. It was 9 months ago. The beauty of knowing that she wasn't like pining for like her last breath. It was like, I know this is time. It's time.
Wow.
You know, and that's such a gift she gave us and such a gift I think she gave herself.
So rare though.
So rare. Oh, she did her work. We all did.
I think you and I are around about a similar kind of age group, and I noticed, so like my grandparents have passed and it's been really interesting. My grandpa was in the war, World War II, you know, and he was like, I'm ready, guys. let's kick this off. Like he'd had too much. He was like, I'm ready. Your grandma's waiting for me. And he was very almost militant, but hilarious. Yeah. And so it became this kind of, it was a really interesting experience. It was almost a celebration. It sounds so weird versus losing someone that didn't know was coming. It's a much different experience. And you're all, the other thing is we were all holding on so tight when we weren't expecting it. Yes. Whereas when my grandpa was like, guys, I want a GO. Literally, that is what he said. He goes, I want a GO. I'm ready. Stop. He was 97. He was like, this is, I'm tapped out. Yeah. I'm tapped out. And it's he didn't have a mindfulness practice like your mom did, but he did within himself.
That's amazing. And he had surrendered. He was like, I'm ready. He said, I'm ready. Not only am I ready, I'm like, let's do it.
It's so fascinating. Wow. And I know you are very into therapy as well. I'm very pro therapy. And I worked with my therapist through all of losing each of my grandparents. Beautiful. And he said, like, death is a, he said, it might take you a little while to get your head around this. He's like, but death is freedom.
Boom.
Right.
Yeah, I let that one hit for a second.
Yeah. And he said the only, thing that you're feeling right now is your own loss, not the loss of like, he's like, your nana's happy right now, you know?
No doubt.
So really interesting. It made me kind of check myself because I was sitting in the, I'm never going to smell her perfume again. I'm never going to do this. And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, you can smell that anytime you want to feel that. I'm like, just go back there. Like really interesting and cool. My therapist is also like a hypnotherapist and really cool.
I love the word.
I call him my shaman and he's like, you can if you want to call me that.
I love it.
I'm technically your therapist, but sure.
But sure, whatever you need. Totally, totally hear all of that. I think Ram Dass said death is like taking off a shoe that's too tight. You know, and it's just like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, the release.
The release of it.
Can we, and I know I'm shifting channels here. This is where my brain works.
Oh, please. I'm ADD, so I'm right on it.
I want to know about chocolate because I know like with Lola Coffee, it is a beast to create an actual product. In Australia, you've got like TGA laws. I imagine you've got FDA here. I want to talk to you about the name game because it's going through a name shift right now.
Yes.
Take me through it. But first of all, where was it birthed from? Obviously the mindfulness around food, but go for it.
My God. Thank you for like honoring and also knowing that industry because it's such a funny thing. Like you think like, oh yeah, I'm just going to do this thing and I'm going to like get this thing going. And it's like, it's no joke.
No joke.
It's no joke, guys. And that's not to deter anyone from doing whatever the fuck they want, like go nuts, but it is no joke.
Yeah.
I created a brand originally called Savage Chocolates. My last name is Silvaggio, which means, and I say it with the Italian accent because I speak Italian somewhat, and it means savage. Silvaggio means savage in Italian. So wanted to create the product around mindful eating. We encourage everyone to pause, breathe, and savor before they eat. There's even a QR code inside the bar that leads to a 1-minute breathwork practice so they can do their breathwork and then enjoy the chocolate. So it really is, as we call it, pleasure done well, like pleasure done presently, rather than the treatment for something we don't want to feel. It actually, ironically, I was teaching in Tulum.
I love Tulum.
It's stunning.
Best yoga, best massages, body work.
Best food, everything.
Mate,
yeah.
The food.
It's so good. It's so good.
I digress.
No. Sorry. Please give me all the Tulum love. I love it. So I was teaching a retreat there and at the retreat center, it was called Casa Om. They had this shaman that was living on site and she was offering like other classes that people, that retreat takers could take. And so she was like, I'm going to do a vegan chocolate making class.
Totally.
And I was like, yeah, I'm signing up for that. I did the class and it was great information because it gave me a really nice like introduction to just like tempering chocolate and like all of those details and also like the kind of ritual around cacao and all of the things. I learned how to make it. And then I was like, you know what? Like, this is good, but I can totally make this better.
Yeah, totally.
So I was like, I want, you know, like she was using like agave nectar and I was like, you know, nothing, no offense to agave, but it does throw off the temper. So it needed to be refrigerated. I was like, I want to try it with coconut sugar. And I tried it with monk fruit and I tried it with all these different sweeteners and I upped the amount of cacao in it. And I just kind of played with it. I'd say I played with it for like 2 months as far as, you know, just flavors. And I finally found one that I really liked. And I wanted to, you know, I had always been the product, like as either an actress, I was the product, or as a yoga teacher or a meditation teacher or a speaker, I was the product. And I wanted to explore having a physical product that could teach what I was teaching on the yoga mat or on the meditation cushion, but while we ate, because I found that like we were all present and accounted for on the yoga mat, and then we get off the mat and it was like
autopilot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like all like right over our heads, flipping people off in the car and like doing the, you know, like, we're right back to it. And so I was like, if I can just take this presence piece and bring it to my mess, then maybe someone else will be helped. Maybe someone else who is struggling to love their body or to allow themselves to experience conscious pleasure can actually like have a moment of pleasure, you know? And that's the thing too, is like, and you and I have both traveled a lot, like, you know, when you go on a trip, like say you go to Italy or you go to wherever, you're kind of in this awe state of presence because it's new. You're like, oh, this is new.
You feel like a kid.
Yeah. And you're super embodied. And so you're tasting the food and you're like doing the things. That's beautiful. And those are great reminders. But why can't we do that
all the time?
All the time. Like, again, the difference between conscious and unconscious pleasure is savoring. It's mindfulness. So if we can just pause, breathe, and savor before we consume, you know, the day before my mom died, she was totally still like conscious and able to get around a little bit. Like she was having trouble walking at that point, but we could get her around. And she really wanted to sit outside and just like have coffee and toast outside. And it was early in the morning. I was the only one awake. And I couldn't get her down the stairs by myself. So I said, okay, let's make a deal. We're going to put you in a nice chair by the window. We'll open up the windows all the way and I'll go get your good china and we'll sit by the window and drink coffee together. Because I just didn't feel comfortable getting her down there by myself. And she said, yeah, that's fine. That's fine for now. And I did. I sat her by the window. I turned on some really beautiful music. You could hear the birds chirping. It was a beautiful fall day. And I brought her coffee and her good china. And she just sat there and she savored every sip because she knew that was it. Like she knew that she was leaving. And the process of watching her really, it wasn't fancy. She was sitting by a fucking window drinking coffee. Like, it was not an extravagant experience, but I've never seen anything so mindful or magnificent in my life because she was so clear on the fact that she was soon to depart, that she was like, every sip was like amazing. And that's not to say that every sip of coffee needs to be that, or every kiss needs to be that, or every sunset needs to be that, but it is such a beautiful way to drop into our femininity. Both men and women,
totally,
to drop into the feminine archetype, to drop into that feminine nature is pleasure. That is pleasure. And we live in a patriarchal system, honey.
Yeah.
And so to actually integrate the slowing down, the receivership, the pleasure, that's actually where we restore back into balance. Because right now we are all penetrative. We are go, go, go. We are hustle, hustle, hustle. Do it quick. Do it fast. Make it work. Do the thing. Like, it's all output. There's no input. And then when we do allow ourselves to input, we're eating the whole fucking box of cookies. And then we're shaming ourselves and going, oh my God, why don't I have any self-control? I'm not eating for a week.
Totally.
So it's this really wild integration.
Can I just say your mom sounds...
legend.
Oh, superhero. And what a gift for you to be able to share in that moment with her. I don't know if you're a Ricky Gervais fan. Usually Americans are split.
Yeah, I like Ricky Gervais.
But Aussies are obsessed.
Yes.
Brits and Aussies kind of have that self-deprecating humor.
Totally.
And he talks quite beautifully about death. He's got a whole show on it called The Afterlife.
Amazing.
And it's filmed in a, I don't know how to describe it. It's a retirement village kind of thing. Yeah. And it's, and he talks about, he faces a lot of death in the show, but he's got this wicked sense of humor.
Yeah.
And in an interview, he said, what makes life so amazing is that we die.
Right.
And so Whatever you want to do in it, and like I get a lot of pressure on Instagram about why I haven't had kids yet and why I'm not married and all that kind of thing. But I will always watch interviews with Ricky Gervais because He has really marched to the beat of his own drum. He's like, but Why do I have to have a kid? He's like, he loves animals.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And he talks about like really honoring what's right for him in his life. And I don't know, when you were sharing that about your mom and that Knowing and being so clear because she knew she was going, we're all going.
No one gets out of here alive.
But like I'm never as clear as your mum was in that. I've already had two coffees today and they were yum.
Yeah.
I can tell you that much.
Delish.
Enjoyed them. Present? I mean, I was researching you for this podcast, which was awesome. But I think it's a beautiful reminder to feel clear as often as you can.
Yes.
Because also then whether it be you're chasing your career or not, like it makes you enjoy every single setback and rejection and the stuff that is uncomfortable. They're actually great experiences. And I'm sure you will agree with this. And this is why the podcast is called Fearlessly Failing. Right. I think the failures are the best bits because you learn about yourself.
Without a doubt.
You learn your resilience. Like I have learned, it's very hard for an Australian to be in America right now. I have learned that my resilience is like
amazing.
Way stronger than I ever thought it was.
Amazing.
But that's from feeling uncomfortable. That's from losing a shit ton of money to get over here and spending a crazy amount of money. I'm like, I could have had a mortgage on a home if I didn't choose to chase this dream. Right? And again, it comes down to this clarity of knowing who you are.
Yes.
And knowing that you're going to die.
Exactly.
And knowing that, hey, well, why don't I enjoy every moment of what I've got and this gift? And sure, it's going to feel like shit a lot of the time.
A lot of it.
And like, and I like the way you've spoken in the past about relationships and like going after that thing that is so painful for you and almost like knowing that it's the wrong thing but still going for that unavailable situation.
Yes.
And that's taken pain for me to even realize what a healthy relationship is, which is what I shout out to you, boss. Yes. Shout out to Matt. Like, you know what I mean? Like, thank you for sharing that with your mom. That really kind of like triggered me to realize.
It's an image that I meditate on.
Totally.
Like I totally drop into that in moments where I'm like rushed, like, oh, chug this. Like, oh, hold on. Like the image of just the breeze against her skin and like her just savoring that. Like she's my greatest teacher.
Totally.
And that is exactly right. Like the failures, the pain. We would not know the nadir unless we knew the zenith. And we would not know the zenith unless we knew the nadir. Like the highest point and the lowest point. We wouldn't know them if they didn't exist. So like that height of pleasure, which we can find pleasure in like these big grand things like a trip or like a lascivious like sexual encounter or like a fantastic meal, or we can take pleasure in the mundane like sitting by the window drinking coffee. And our ability to hold space for all of that is equivalent to our ability to hold space for our pain. You cannot selectively numb out a sensation, and so our ability to be with our pain, which again, greatest teacher, like the death of the person that was the closest to me on the planet, it's like I actually feel so much braver because I've survived that. Like I'm like, yeah, cool, I'll get into a relationship with you now. Like if you break my heart, I'm going to be fucking fine.
Like, so what went through my head when you were saying about losing the, you know, your person on this planet, I was like, oh, you must be so fearless now.
It's very exhilarating in that sense where I'm like, okay, I survived that. And you better believe 9 months later after her, you know, leaving her body, I still have waves of tremendous grief. And
which is healthy.
Which is so healthy. And anyone who doesn't, like, please get into therapy. Because it's really like the word depression means to depress. like to push down, primarily to depress our emotions. And emotions are energy in motion. So like they're meant to move through us. And when we are depressing them, we get depressed. And then we wonder why we go through our shit and we're like, God, I'm like still heartbroken over this guy. It's like, okay, well, what have you been depressing? What are you repressing? I mean, I think Madonna said it in her song, like, express yourself, don't repress yourself.
Totally.
Like I'm like, go off, Madonna. Like, dude, like it sounds so obvious. And yet we are a culture of, you know, and this is where the patriarchy has really like screwed everybody because, you know, the patriarchy is just as terrible for women as it is for men. Like there really is such a straitjacket we put our men in around feeling sensation.
Yeah.
It's a straitjacket. And that's really, really brutal. Like women have suffered the like physical, mental, emotional brunt of that. But that emotional brunt that the men have faced, it serves no one.
I will say being in America, men and being in acting school, because we have to speak about our feelings a lot in acting school.
Yes.
The men here are so good at it compared to Australia because Australia is
a little bit more.
Yeah, other than like, and I remember when I met Matt, I call him Boss. He's very creative and has three older sisters, and so he's so in touch with his feminine.
Yes,
probably more than I am.
And he's Italian, and truly Italian men are.
Yeah,
like
passionate.
They're a little like that.
Yeah, totally. Like love and food. He's got so many sayings. Is like you treat food how you make love. You treat love how you make food.
And boom, shakalaka. Yeah. That's why I lost my virginity in Italy.
I bet. Oh, how wonderful.
You're welcome, everybody. That's tidbit. That one's extra.
I love that you're calling this out, but I do also feel like there is a wave of change.
No doubt.
I feel like I'm watching some of it.
Without a doubt.
And
which is why the momentum is important too.
Yeah, totally. You know. I could totally agree with you. Two more questions because, like I said, I could talk to you all day. I have to ask a Tulum question quickly because it's one of my favorite places in the world.
Same.
Did you swim in a cenote, the underground case?
Full snorkel moment. Yes, incredible.
What are they? How would you describe it? Because most Aussies don't know what they are.
Yeah, it's just like a sinkhole. It's literally like a crater in the earth that is like an underground cave.
Yeah.
And you can like swim through it and like the life in there is just like insane.
The turtles.
It's so beautiful. And the water is super clean.
Blue.
And, gorgeous.
Google after this, I would say.
Yeah.
But also I did some research before I swam. And apparently they say like in like, is it Mayan like culture, their underwater gods all live in the cenotes. Ooh, and I was like,
I didn't know that.
Give me some of that energy.
Yes. Give me the Mayan gods.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So really fascinating. Definitely put Tulum on. When the world opens up again, I'm phenomenal.
Yeah.
Final question. So for people, obviously you're so connected to your truth, you're so connected to your purpose, you're so open about having days where you don't feel those things as well.
For sure.
For people that are like, I love how honest and real and here I am, you are. But that is also rare. Like, let's call a spade a spade. And so for people that might be listening to this going, I want more of that. I want to feel that, and it's really scary. And I've got plenty of mates that self-medicate through smoking, shopping, sex, booze is a big one in Australia. Aussies are real drinkers.
Yeah.
And like so many of my mates emotionally eat, which is just the exact same. So
totally.
What would your advice be if you kind of want to feel more like you feel like I'm really clear and connected.
Yeah.
But you're a bit afraid of going there.
Yes. Oh my God, I love it. Well, first of all, the fear is the most normal thing on the planet. You know, I still have resistance to dropping into breath work. Like I still have resistance to it. And the question is, whenever I find myself wanting to check out rather than check in, what am I avoiding feeling? Like, what am I trying to avoid? What's underneath this? Is it because I'm anxious today because I didn't hear back from this, that, or the other person? Is it because I had this happen to me? Is it because I'm having I can tell a wave of grief about my mom's death is coming? So once we can figure out kind of why we're wanting to check out rather than check in, that's, to me, that's super helpful because it gets me kind of cognitive. And then dropping into the heart, like you'll actually see, I've probably done it 3 times during this podcast, putting one hand on my heart, one hand on my belly, offering myself my own attention, even if it's just 3 breaths into the heart and into the belly, that is like an immediate connection to self.
Totally.
It's immediate. You're like, I'm right here. I'm right here. And then the other thing I do for myself that's like, I like these like little kind of one-liner moments is I ask myself how I am. Like I'm like, hey, Alexa, like how are you? What's going on? Like where are we at? Because we spend all day being like, my queen, how are you? What's going on? Like we're always asking everybody else. But like when was the last time you actually stopped and asked yourself? And then actually listen for the answer. Like pause long enough to listen. And for me, like it's been about cultivating a relationship to slowing down. Because for me, I'm so fast and I'm so like furious, to get it all done. For me, the question was like, what am I trying to outrun by disconnecting from myself?
Totally.
And so getting into the body, that's actually our point of liberation. My friend Lauren Taus, who's an incredible psychotherapist, she does a lot of work with psychedelics, actually. She works like with ketamine-assisted therapy. She's hosting an entire symposium in a couple weeks. She's amazing. I would love for you to chat with her.
Yeah. Ketamine.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It's like having wildly, just incredible impact on people with PTSD, people with eating disorders.
Wow.
Like huge healing is happening.
Because in Australia, ketamine is used as like a party drug to the point that you're pretty obliterated though because you lose function.
Yes. Yeah, if you use too much, it can be like a tranquilizer.
Yeah.
In proper dosage, it leads to more of a psychedelic effect.
Wow.
And drops you very much into your heart. Where was I going with that?
I got it.
So incredible healing is happening. I've actually never done a ketamine-assisted therapy, but I have dabbled in ceremonial psychedelic use.
Cool.
And but my friend Lauren Taus, who also was an eating disorder yoga teacher person who's now a therapist doing ketamine-assisted therapy, she said the path to ascension takes descension. Like we can't like go higher unless we drop into our body. Like we have to drop into our body because we cannot
ground.
Elevate. Yeah, we have to ground and then we can continue to ascend.
Oh, so, mate.
Get into the body.
Cannot wait for this book. Cannot wait.
Thank you.
If people, so how can Aussies, so I'm going to put all your Insta links in there. I'll put your pod link, Insta link. Chocolate, what about for Australians? Should they just order it online via you? Is that the best way to do it?
So I think right now, the only place you can buy it is through a company called Orca for online shipping.
Yeah.
I think that's it for Aussies. But in America,
it's everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere. I'm hoping that'll change this year, but we're 1 year old. So we're still we're still figuring out all the details and a pandemic year. So it's made it a little tough.
It is now going to be called Rich as well. I nearly skipped over that.
Yeah, totally. So we had to change the name because Savage is offensive to many people here in the United States, many people in Canada, Native American cultures.
Yes.
It's like a very offensive word. So despite, and obviously I want to be sensitive to that.
Of course.
And also like there are other names that are beautiful. Despite the fact that my last name means savage, it's like, okay, we can mess with this. So basically the whole brand is about ritual, like making chocolate, pleasure a ritual. So it's Rich Chocolate Ritual. So it's RITCH.
Love it.
So it'll be soon to be richrituals.com.
Perfect. Yes. Thank you. I'm glad we touched on that because I nearly skipped over it.
I did too. I think we started and then I had another detour.
No.
ADD.
Detour as much as you want. Alexa, it's a total honor to have you on this podcast.
Thank you so much.
I cannot wait to release this this chat. You're wonderful and you've really inspired me, and your mum has really inspired me. So thank you for sharing all of that.
Of course. What a pleasure to chat with you. You're amazing.
Big love, my friend.
That's a wrap on another episode of Fearlessly Failing. As always, thank you to our guests. And let's continue the conversation on Instagram. I'm at YummoLolaBerry. This poddy, my word for podcast, is available on all streaming platforms. I'd love it if you could subscribe, rate, and comment. And of course, spread the love.